Once upon a time, two men decided if they were making the cut. And then they made the cut. And now JT and Aaron are talking everything from wrestling to pop culture and beyond. Because it's no holds barred.
Will you back down, turn and run? Or stand up with the best?
North South Connection Podcast Network. We're back. No holds barred. JT.
Hi, that's me.
What was with the pause?
I was just building the drama.
Yeah, it was dramatic. I was afraid you were gone forever.
I'm here.
Good. So we're doing another one of these. If you guys are listening in to the year that was, I'm counting down the worst to best WWF, WWE pay-per-view years of all time. And in doing that, for every year, I have a ranking of every single pay-per-view match. And for some reason, JT has a problem with most of my list.
I hate them all.
I know. I don't know where your hate comes from. Have you figured it out?
I like Canada, so it's not that. Maybe it's just your shitty opinions.
It might just be my shitty opinions. Right, right. Might just be my shitty opinions. I want you to know that's hurtful. I'm going to be more forthcoming about how much you hurt my feelings.
Oh, God. Stop being such a snowflake.
Hey, I'm in from Canada. All right.
Stop being such a Karen.
Oh, God, Karen. Oh, God, I wish. I had no friends named Karen. Actually, I knew one Karen, and she died.
Oh. Yeah, was it because she was yelling at a Burger King?
No. I went to theater school with her, and she was older than everybody else in the class.
Oh, okay.
Like, substantially. Like, everybody else was, like, 18, and she was, like, 30.
Did she have underlying conditions?
Did she have what?
Underlying conditions.
She may have had underlying conditions. Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, she may have. Anyway, she's dead. I feel bad, because she was actually really nice. I said some derogatory things once about Barack Obama, and she called me out. Not derogatory, like, because of, like, anything other than I just was young and... No, this is sounding bad, but that's not what I'm trying to say. It had nothing to do with anything other than I didn't necessarily know if he was the genuine article or if he was a puppet. At the time, I was very into conspiracies, you see.
Oh, at that time.
I'm not really into conspiracies now as much. I think conspiracies exist, but I'm not so into it as I was. Like mid-07.
Would you move into Mexico with Jesse Ventura?
Obviously, I
and
would,
Mark
but
Clare.
That, if I could just watch, you know what would be heaven for me is if I could just watch old wrestling with Jesse and have him comment on it, like sitting on a couch.
I feel like, I don't want to get into it right now because we're going to get, well, 99 does include Jesse, so.
Yeah.
Him and Shivani are like the biggest what-ifs for me, and maybe even Heenan a little bit, but I mean, he gets sick pretty quick after he could have came back, but.
Right.
I feel like Jesse Ventura not doing anything in wrestling post 1994 outside of a couple of things is such a fucking waste.
I know.
He's so amazing and never came back for a run. Never. And that was Shivani. Think of how good Shivani is on AEW. And he did nothing from like 2000 to 2019. Like, I mean, 19 years we could have had this guy.
Yeah.
During a dearth of shit commentary.
Yeah. Oh, hey, Michael Cole's okay. Don't shit on Michael Cole. He's fine. He's fine. You know what the biggest condemnation of Cole is? Is he's been on the air what, like 20 years, right?
Yeah, 99 he started. He's been 97 he started like as an interviewer.
Sure. Yeah. Can you think of one classic Michael Cole call?
The 15,000 pound steps.
I
do think he's legit great when Foley wins the title.
Oh, on Raw?
Yeah, I think he's great in that moment. He really does a nice job living in his car, and this is the biggest moment of his life. You know, like, he tells that story really well. I think he's really good in that match.
I just struggle with – I find everything he says so disingenuous, and I always
have. I mean, that was also 20 years ago, so.
Yeah,
that's
right.
What his peak was. I actually felt that way about JBL when he left in 06. He came back, and it was diminishing returns, so maybe I shouldn't be too wistful of these guys to come back, but
right.
I felt that way for JBL. I'm like, man, we could have so much more of this guy, and it sucks that he only did like that 1 year because he was so great in 06, 07, you know, whatever year it was that he did. Anyway.
You know who I wish would come in? I wish Fox would pay CM Punk to be a commentator.
Right.
So that, like, they couldn't fire him and he could be there on air every week.
And well, and that's another guy, right? I think I'd put him in this bucket of Jesse. I mean, we're now on 6 years where Punk could have been contributing to the wrestling business, but they killed his love for it. So there's definitely these guys that are like, you wonder how much more they could have given during the stretch where they vanished and what it could have been.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, we should be talking about Punk as like an all-time great.
Right.
And we're not. He was in the position to be that.
Just a candle in the wind.
Seems to me that you lived your life. All right. So look, we're going to go through 1999. Okay. I'm going to read you my list. Are you there?
Yes. Jesus Christ. I just talked.
I feel like you're humming in the background.
No one's humming.
Speaking.
We're all talking. Go ahead.
What do you mean we're all? There's just two of
us. We're all just talking.
All right. So there's 105 matches in 1999 on pay-per-view. And we're going to go through them bottom to top. We're going to just kind of try to get through this relatively quickly. Mm-hmm. And you're going to kind of stop me. See, this is why I don't know what's happening. Do you understand why this is difficult for me?
Just go.
The worst match of 1999. Number 105, Ivory versus the Fabulous Moolah from No Mercy for the
no
Women's
complaints.
Championship.
No complaints.
104, Al Snow versus the Big Boss Man, Kendall in a Cell. 103, Undertaker, Big Boss Man, WrestleMania, Hell in a Cell. 102, Ivory, Jackie, Kitty, and BB in an evening gown from Armageddon. That's where we saw Miss Kitty's breasts. And 101, Moolah, Mae Young, Tori, Deborah versus Ivory, Jackie, Terry, and Luna from the Survivor Series.
The only thing I want to say is maybe should the kennel be higher than some of those other matches? Only because of the memorability of it.
The dog shit and the piss all over the ring. And
yeah, and even the Mick Foley commentary version, like, it's just really more memorable. And like, if you're watching it, would you rather watch that for the novelty versus like some of those women's matches?
I never want to see those women's matches again.
I'd put the Kendall ahead of all those.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, see, when I'm ranking them, right, like, I'm just kind of ranking them in the moment, not thinking about what I want to watch it again.
Right.
But now when I think about it, yeah, I guess I'd rather watch the Boss Man Al Snow storyline. For sure. Number 100, Sable versus Tori from WrestleMania.
Yeah, you can move that below the cell, too.
Number 99, Kane versus Big Show, King of the Ring. 98, New Age Outlaws.
I put the cell above that, too.
We're going to have the cell at number one by the time.
Well, that match, that Big Show Kane match is, oh, God. Is that the one with all the bear hugs, or is that Fully Loaded? I know the one, the Fully Loaded's got Holly as the ref.
I think it's the bear hugs, but it's only 6 minutes. I know it feels longer, but it's only 6 minutes.
All right. It's up to you on that one if you want to leave that below.
Well, I'm not changing it anyway. We're just debating it, right?
Oh, fuck. Right.
Wrong show. Number 98, New Age Outlaws versus Mankind and Al Snow from Survivor Series. Number 97, Goldust versus Blue Dust from St. Valentine's Day Massacre. And number 6, The Undertaker versus Ken Shamrock from Backlash.
All right. That Foley match should be last just because of his blue sweatpants. Like, that is the epitome of giving up in late 99 for Mick Foley. Like it's one thing that he's wrestling like 2 years in sweatpants and everyone just kind of doesn't say anything about it. Just kind of let it go because he's destroyed his body for entertainment. But when you start getting to these ridiculous, like, light blue, where, you know, you probably wore as a kid in 1983, like, to play in the yard, like, it feels like extra lazy, those light blue ones.
Was it just his weight?
No, I think anyone in those light blue sweatpants, like, anyone wearing those sweatpants looks ridiculous because it's the old school ones with the, like, tight ankle.
Right.
But they're not tapered, right? They're just normal pants and they're tight at the ankle. So
it's got
already,
like a
worn dated.
Off Adidas symbol, like, on the side.
Yeah, it's already a dated look. And now you have this weird ass light blue, like, it feels like he stopped by TJ Maxx on the way to the arena and just grabbed them off the rack because they're on sale, which is a very Foley thing, which is probably what he did.
Yeah.
I just think it looks ridiculous. I know you're low on Shamrock Taker. For some reason, I've always liked it. But I know it's long.
19 minutes.
Yeah. It's Taker trying to do his MMA shit before he was good at it.
With the actual MMA guy.
Yeah. All right. Well, let me see what's next.
Okay. 95, Bulldog, Val Venus, D'Lo Brown for the European title from Armageddon. 94, Sable versus Luna from the Royal Rumble. 93, The Union versus the Boss Man, Farouk, Bradshaw, and Viscera from Over the Edge. 92, Billy Gunn versus Ken Shamrock from King of the Ring. And 91, Ivory versus Tori from SummerSlam.
I mean, I'd have Shamrock above Ivory Tori.
Ivory Tori is 4 minutes.
Still. I'm going against my longevity.
Breaking your own rules.
All right, fine.
Anything else?
No. I'm good there.
All right. Number 90, Jeff Jarrett versus Chyna from No Mercy, The Good Housekeeping. Wow. 89,
Did you have the Unforgiven one yet?
No, I think it's higher.
Oh, okay.
Bob Holly versus Al Snow from Backlash.
Pierre? You don't like Pierre?
Pierre?
Pierre the Moose. Pierre the Moose.
Oh, yeah. I don't like Al Snow in this run. In 88, Al Snow, Bob Holly, St. Valentine's Day Massacre. That's the outdoor one. 87, Triple H, X-Pac from Backlash. Mm. 86, Jericho, X-Pac from Unforgiven.
See, it's so hard without knowing what's to come to, like, and then remember this shit. This is a hard show we do.
Yeah.
I remember liking Triple H, X-Pac, and I do like the outdoor match with Holly and Snow. And I like X-Pac, Jericho, I think.
I like their cage match, but I don't think that's this year.
No, that's 2000. They fight back-to-back Unforgivens.
Right. Shall I continue?
Yeah.
85, Godfather, Midian, No Mercy. I don't know why that's higher. 84,
yeah,
Undertaker. Undertaker versus The Rock from King of the Ring. 83, Mankind, Val Venus, No Mercy. 82, Billy Gunn, Kane, King of the Ring. 81, X-Pac, Bob Holly, King of the Ring.
I mean, King of the Ring is shit, so I'm probably fine with that.
Yeah.
But
they're quick. They're all quick, right?
Yeah. Those Backlash matches are just stuck in my head.
The Triple H X-Pac?
Yeah, that and Shamrock Taker. But again, I haven't watched it. 99 is an intriguing year to me. Like, it's... I want to probably watch them, actually. Like, I'm nowhere near it with anything I'm doing, you know?
Right.
So, like, I'm not going to get there anytime soon with Chad and Warzone, and it's just, like, definitely not going to get there with a place to be anytime soon. So, it's kind of in this dead zone. So, I may just make it, like, my next random watch to try and go through some of these. Because it's far enough ago that I haven't watched them for PTB, you know? It's been a while right. Since Scott and I did them, and that would have been the last time I saw them, so...
I watched it. It was like the third year I watched. So like this is going back 3 years now, right?
Yep.
And it wasn't horrible to watch. Like it flowed enough, but it's like it felt like the mid-card really wasn't there already. Because it's in that period right before they get Benoit, Guerrero, Saturn, and Malenko, right? Which kind of – and Angle, which kind of changes everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so like the mid-card's really struggling. Like Road Dogg is like one of your top mid-carders the whole year.
Right.
You know, I like Road Dogg. He's fine. But like it's quite a weird year in ring-wise. It takes forever to get a match of the year. So it was good, but you'll probably enjoy watching it, but it's not the best.
Well, I kind of want to watch the TV with it. I don't know. Like yeah. I've been doing this WCW long-term project that I literally started, I think, when I got the network. Like I still hung out with Dan again when I started doing this project. And it was I started it in 89 WCW. And I've watched every pay-per-view Clash and TV available. I didn't watch the Saturdays or any of that shit because that wasn't out by the time I got that. I was like too far. But I've watched every Nitro and Thunder. I'm in Halloween Havoc 98. So I'm super close to 99. So I'm wondering if when I get to 99, if I'll just work in both. It'll slow me way down because I don't watch it a ton. It's just kind of like when I'm laying it, you know, at night and stuff. So I could do the Raws, pay-per-views, Nitros and Thunders, and eventually SmackDown. Maybe I'll start doing that.
Yeah, why not? You get a good gist of like kind of where everything's at during that period.
Yeah, because that is the one dirty F year like I'm intrigued to go back and see again. Especially the Raws, because I feel like there's so much lost stuff in those Raws.
Yeah, well, what I remember is that the Raws are the storylines are all actually really compelling. Like Russo does a really good job of like giving everyone something to do. Like that's for sure his biggest strength. And so it makes for good television. It just didn't translate well to matches for me. But I didn't hate watching it. Like 2017 and 18, I hated watching. This was fine, but the matches aren't as good. Number 80, Big Show versus the Big Boss Man, Midian, Viscera, and Albert from the Survivor Series. Number 79, Al Snow versus Bob Holly from Over the Edge. They got a lot of matches. Number 78, Boss Man versus Midian, St. Valentine's Day Massacre. Number 77, Ivory versus Luna, hardcore match from Unforgiven. Number 76, X-Pac versus Road Dogg, King of the Ring.
Yeah, I mean, again, that all sounds fine. Some of the women's matches, that whole year, the women's matches are hard to track. They're all the same. So I am surprised to hear you have, I know this not high, but they're in the 70s, but it feels it.
If they're there, it's because there was something in the other match that I didn't like. So, like, there was, like, a major botch, or I thought it was too long, or I thought it was really boring. Like, those were the things that would knock it. Like, this Ivory Luna at Unforgiven, I don't have the time beside it, because I only kept the time for, like, the matches that, like, get dinged for points. But, like, it can't be more than 3-4 minutes.
Right. Yeah, they all were.
Yeah. Number 75, Godfather versus Goldust for Backlash. Number 74, Billy Gunn, the Road Dogg, Over the Edge. Number 73, Mankind Big Show, WrestleMania. Number 72, Ken Shamrock, Val Venus from St. Valentine's Day Massacre. Number 71, Road Dogg versus the Big Boss Man from the Royal Rumble.
And that's the weird, like, non-hardcore match with them, right?
Right.
That Godfather Goldust match feels high.
Godfather Goldust? Yeah, I'm in the 2.5 range. Right, so like, it's possible it was just kind of there, and that's why I probably was really into the Godfather character.
99 Maybe. Goldust feels like such a relic.
He's so out of place that year.
It feels like the guys were talking about 90, like Tatanka 96. That's like Goldust in 99.
But and then he gets an Intercontinental run,
mm-hmm.
which to me is crazy. Like he beats Road Dogg right after WrestleMania, right?
Yeah, yeah, and I think it's like 2 weeks after Godfather. Or something. Yeah,
because Godfather's champion at Backlash.
Yes, yeah, I think he wins it 2 weeks after. He's champion. Godfather's champion into that match.
Yeah,
yeah. So we get two title changes then in that span.
They really love the Intercontinental title in 1999.
If by love you mean hate, yes. Because the Godfather was going to lose to the Blazer at Over the Edge,
right?
And he loses to Jarrett, and that stabilizes it a bit.
That's right. I mean, it's still weird kind of where they go with it, but yes. Number 70, Billy Gunn versus X-Pac, the finals of the King of the Ring. Number 69, Gangrel, Edge, and Christian versus Midian, Farooq Bradshaw from Backlash. Number 68, Jeff Jarrett and Deborah versus Val Venus and Nicole Bass over the Edge. Number 67, Kane versus Triple H, WrestleMania. Number 66, Austin Undertaker from Over the Edge. And 66, that's where we stop.
Yeah, for me, it's always been hard to rank those Over the Edge matches. I know with Scott, I did the show. We didn't really even talk about the matches. You know, we just kind of glossed over some of the stuff that happened.
Yeah.
It's hard. I mean, I know you put them in for the project, so it's fine. But, like, I can't properly judge that Taker, knowing that mentally they were a fucking disaster, I'm sure.
No. And even just watch, like, it's when you start watching that show, too, you know what's happening, you know mm-hmm. what's coming, and, like, you're not in the mood to watch and rank wrestling. Like, I just did it for the project, right?
But right.
I'll never revisit that show again.
No, it's a hard one to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, number 65, Steve Austin against Vincent Shane from the King of the Ring.
Yeah, that's kind of disappointing, huh?
Yeah, because everything else they seem to do together is really good. Is the part that's messing it up Shane?
No, I don't know. I think it's just the way they go about it. Yeah, I don't know. It just never gets going. It feels like, I think it's more the gimmick. Like, it feels like because they have to reach for the thing, there's like a lot of start, stop.
Yeah. I was thinking about this the other day. Does Steve Austin have a great feud in the WWF that isn't with Brett or Vince?
Dude Love? Mankind?
But that's kind of with Vince.
Yeah. I think Foley's involved enough to make it with him.
Yeah, because you know what it's making me think of? It's making me think of Austin and O2. I was listening to Ruthlessly Aggressive, and we're talking mm-hmm. about Austin and O2. And I started thinking, like, it's like, can you do that character the way it is without the authority figure?
Right.
Or without someone he's chasing? And, like, in O2, they couldn't.
Right.
And I'm wondering if that is true to the entire – like, if that's, like, a truth.
Just how about a feud with Angle?
Yeah, but it's not the same character, though.
Yeah.
Like, and even then,
I mean, it's hard to say because he was only with program with those people for that time. I mean, he was program with Brett and Vince for like 3 years and nothing else. I mean, so He never really had a shot to get into anything else.
Well, I think 02 is the telling year because they just don't know what to do with him. Like, maybe they could have been more creative with it. But I like to think sometimes, like, I can think of stuff that would be at least somewhat creative. And I was kind of stumped with him in 02. Like, what do you do with him?
Well, I think it all stems from him not being with Hogan at Mania.
Right.
And then it kind of just goes from there. And I think they also just didn't have a I don't think they had a – doing the brand split left them without a real strong heel on Raw at that time. Because they're kind of doing Taker as the top guy, but that is, the chemistry is not really there with them. It's just kind of played out, him, you know, Taker in that gimmick against Austin. And then it's like the NWO's on fumes. They got him teamed with Bradshaw. Like, there just wasn't a talent. And I feel like it was actually starting to get there right before he left. Like, they were going to have him feud with Eddie, which is a cool feud. Probably would have maybe had Benoit in there. He was kind of going against Flair. You know, they end up hot-shotting Flair, losing GM role when Austin leaves. So I think there's stuff in there that could have been good if he would have stuck around. I just think for the few months, it was actually kind of similar to 01, where they didn't have a top face against Austin Triple H.
Right.
You know, it's kind of the flip, where now they just weren't ready yet. So Austin was kind of, you know, almost like Cena, like we just talked about, where he's in there with the Corbin. You know, he's just kind of in there with these guys. But, and like, him versus Flair could have been fun. That is, by the time they turn Flair heel, Austin's like cooked and leaving.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember Vince describing him as like one of the hardest characters to write for because he eats people up. And it's like, that's kind of what he did to the NWO. Like, they beat him up a couple times, and then he killed Scott Hall, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, interesting character, that Steve Austin. Number 64, Kane versus Big Show, Fully Loaded. 63, Rock, Bulldog, No Mercy. 62, Val Venus, Steve Blackman from Unforgiven. 61, Triple H, Steve Austin, No Mercy. That's with the vehicular homicide at the end.
Yeah. No, it's Survivor Series.
No.
Is the homicide. Yeah.
No, you're right. Sorry, that's 2000. Yeah, no.
Yeah, 99 is the – that one's okay. That's a little disappointing, that one, I believe. Kane, Big Show seems high.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to struggle to remember some of these.
I just remember those matches really suck. It was like, did not help Big Show start. He had already turned. You know, it was like, oh, the shit was happening. And then
I
want to
just remind
sucked.
You, we're in the 2.5 star range.
I
so
know.
It's not like we're good, right?
Yeah, that still seems high for that match. What else was in there after that?
Rock, Bulldog.
Oh, yeah, the dog shit. I put you in my poop.
Dog shit.
All right.
Val Venus, Blackman, yeah, Triple H, Austin.
That's fine. Okay.
And Austin, Vince, Shane was lower than all of them.
Yeah.
60, Venus, Henry, Blackman, and Gangrel versus the Bulldog and the Posse at Survivor Series. Fucking weird team. 59, Big Show, Bossman from Armageddon. All-time great storyline, but the match was no good. 58, Owen and Jeff Jarrett against New Age Outlaws from Backlash. 57, X-Pac versus Kane, Survivor Series. And 56, the main event of SummerSlam, Austin, Triple H, Mankind. And you know what? I'm going to give you 55, which is the last 2.5 star match, the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, that all feels right. That SummerSlam 99, you know, is disappointing. So it feels low. So I guess we'll see what's coming, but I don't think it's much better than 2.5. So I'm probably about right.
Right. Well, the next match I'm going to mention should probably feel lower, but I imagine I like the characters in it. 54 was the Hollies against Rikishi and Viscera from Armageddon. God. 53, Owen and Jarrett against D'Lo Brown and Mark Henry from St. Valentine's Day Massacre. 52, Owen and Jarrett against D'Lo Brown and Test from WrestleMania. And 51, Kurt Angle versus Sean Stasiak from Survivor Series. I'm pretty sure I put that there because of all of Kurt's antics on the mic. And
it's his debut. I mean, it's a big moment.
Yeah.
The Rikishi, that was like his pay-per-view debut, and we're realizing he's kind of cool. That probably feels like it should be below the SummerSlam match, though, to me.
Probably. But the Hollies were really fun. I think it's probably shorter. It was I probably was easier on it because it's not the main event. And it's not the main event with three guys that should deliver a great main event. So maybe that was my reasoning. 50. Billy Gunn versus Al Snow versus Bob Holly from WrestleMania. That's the hardcore nonsense.
See, I think I'd have that lower than like the one where they go on the river.
I think maybe it was because I thought the river one went on too long.
Mm.
That might have been it. But yeah, possibly. 49, Mankind Big Show Boiler Room Brawl from Backlash. 48, Triple H and X-Pac versus Kane and China from St. Valentine's Day Massacre. 47, Midian versus D'Lo Brown, Fully Loaded. I don't know why that's so high. And 46, The Acolytes versus the Dudleys from Unforgiven.
This all this screams to me is this year is weird, and it's like a lot of middling shit.
Yeah. Yeah, it's exactly what it is. That's why I finished so low on my list, right?
Yeah, it's all of it feels like it's 2.5.
Yeah.
So it's hard to differentiate, like you're saying them, and it's just a jumble of names to me.
That's exactly right. Now the Dudleys have just started at this point, so they're in their tie dye shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Midian and D'Lo of the European. That's when they brought the European title back. D'Lo won it from him. I can't imagine that match was very good, but I have it ahead of Triple H and X-Pac versus Kane and China. So I might have dinged Kane and China match because of China. I think she was struggling at first to kind of get things looking realistic, and I think she got better. That's probably why that's there. And the Boiler Room Brawl is the one backstage with the glass, right?
Yes. Yep. Which kind of sucks. It's all right, but the glass spot's pretty nasty.
Yeah. 45, Ken Shamrock versus Steve Blackman, Lion's Den, the lesser Lion's Den. 44, Rock Billy Gunn, Kiss My Ass match for SummerSlam. 43, Jeff Jarrett versus China, Intercontinental. 42, Kurt Angle, Steve Blackman, Armageddon. And 41, New Age Outlaws versus the Hollies from No Mercy.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's just a bunch of shit. I know it's a thrilling podcast. Maybe it'll pick up when we get to the best and the worst of the year.
I freaking hope so.
I mean, I don't know. How do you argue some of this stuff? Like, it's just all so jumbled together, you know?
I think the Jarrett China match I have higher than the other one because I thought some of the gimmicks were stupid in the housekeeping. That's probably why it's there.
Yeah.
I think Jarrett had a carry job here in Unforgiven, which I probably liked more. And a lot of the tag stuff, it just kind of falls into like, yeah, it's almost good.
Yeah, it's just the same combination, guys rotating around. Val versus this guy, Blackman versus that guy. It's like, I think it'll be some of the big stuff will stand out, but right now the mid card is all very I guess credit to Russo on some level. Right? All these guys meant enough to have these matches, but.
Are you still looking forward to rewatching this?
Yeah, I actually do, so I could like refresh on some of it. I think part of it is I haven't watched it in a while, but that speaks to some of it. I have seen them. Like, it's not like some of the shit we talk about, like 16, 17, where I've barely seen it. You know, these I should know more. Like, I think if we did this for 98, I'd know more, you know?
Well, we will. When we get 98, obviously finished a lot higher in the list. Number 40, Big Boss Man versus Al Snow. I feel like I've said that combination. Like,
all of these, times. The same shit. It's all the same shit.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I'll be honest, it is hard to rank them.
Yeah.
When you're like, what? Okay, which one? That's why you have to do it like kind of right away, which is why when I can't really defend a lot of these because some of them I just don't like. Okay, this is the fourth Big Show Al Snow match, but it's the one from SummerSlam at 40. 39, Billy Gunn in China versus Road Dogg at X-Pac from Fully Loaded. 38, the Road Dogg versus China from King of the Ring. That's the he's wearing a cup match. Yeah. 37, Triple H versus Vince McMahon. From Armageddon. That's the last 2¾ match. And then 36, my first 3-star match, which is terrible. There's 100 matches and 36 of them are good. Butterbean versus Bark Gunn from WrestleMania.
And that's not even really a match.
No, I just put it there because like, what the f- it was so, I mean.
Well, it's a great moment. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not entertaining for Bark Gunn, but like.
The Triple H Vince match is so long and that really kills it.
I don't know why, because he's not in that zone yet where he's where Triple H is good. And Vince has had a great match so far, but he's not there either in terms of,
well, not as a face, you know.
Oh, it's just bad casting.
Yeah, it's odd. What else was in there was one other one I wanted to mention.
Road Dogg China, Gun China, Dog X-Pac.
Oh, yeah, that one. Yeah, I like that little battle for the DX tag. I thought that was fun.
Yeah, like, I'm the 39th best match of the year, so.
But it is sad that, yeah, we're not even hitting 3 stars until 36 in, so.
I know. And it's funny because then you'll have, like, you'll have a year like, say, 2016, where there's, like, 140 matches, and, like, 100 of them are 3 stars. And I'd still rather watch this year. I'd rather sit through the shit.
Which is quick, like you keep saying.
Yeah. 35, Ken Shamrock versus Steve Blackman, Iron Circle from Fully Loaded. 34, Tag Team Battle Royal from Armageddon. You couldn't pay me money right now to tell you who was in that. 72, Road Dogg versus Goldust versus Val Venus versus Ken Shamrock from WrestleMania. 32, X-Pac versus Kane versus Bradshaw versus Farouk from No Mercy. And 31, Godfather, D'Lo Brown and the Headbangers, I think they were the Pimps, versus the Acolytes and the Dudleys from the Survivor Series.
Yeah. Cromulent. I'm good there.
Yeah. I actually quite liked the X-Pac, Kane, Bradshaw, Farouk. Like, I like the dynamic of that.
Mm-hmm.
That's when X-Pac is trying to show he's not the weak link of the team.
Yeah, and it kind of plays off the old Luger Giant Harlem Heat.
they did that the old WCW. Luger Giant Harlem Heat trope.
Yeah, well, they had like one tag team and two singles guys going for the title shot.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's all fine. Number 30, Edge and Christian and the Hardys versus the Hollies and Too Cool. Mm. That feels like a year later, this is a much more exciting tag match.
Oh, yeah, definitely feels way hotter in 2000 than it did in 99.
That's number 30. Number 29, Mark Henry versus D'Lo Brown for the European title at Unforgiven. Number 28, Edge and Chris. It must be Edge and Christian, yes. Edge and Christian versus the Hardys versus Draws and Albert versus Midi and Viscera versus the Acolytes versus the Hollies. Tag team turmoil at SummerSlam. 27, Edge versus Jeff Jarrett, Fully Loaded. 26, D'Lo Brown, Jeff Jarrett, SummerSlam.
Yeah, I like D'Lo Jarrett. What number is that, 26?
26.
Yeah, that feels about right, probably for that. I think everything else is good there. He's good in 98 and 99.
Yeah.
I almost wish he just had one, like, I guess he does get X-Pac a couple times in there in 98. I wish they gave him someone, like, one really good person to work with. He's always with the guys that, like, were just the notch below, like, great workers, like a Val and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I wish we had a match with him and, I don't know, who else is around this time that's, like, a great worker? I know they didn't have many, but.
I mean, look, even if you gave him a one-off with Austin.
Or Owen.
Yeah, Owen. But he was on the same team as Owen when Owen was in the Nation of Domination.
Yeah, I guess those are two of the best use cases. And his stuff with X-Pac is probably his best stuff. And
yeah.
But, you know, I'd like to see him in X-Pac in 99. Let's put it that way. Because he fights him in 98 when he's, like, still not fully there as a singles guy yet, D'Lo is.
Yeah.
Like, him in X-Pac in, like, summer 99 could have been cool.
The only thing I'll say about D'Lo in 99 is I found myself getting tired of all his little tropes that he does in the matches.
Yeah, yeah. He was a very tropey wrestler.
Like, he does that finger point before the leg drop and, like, it. I don't know. Like, it's like some of that stuff can come off a bit too hokey for me. But, again.
He was always an exaggerated wrestler with the head bobs and everything. I mean, everything was, like, amped up.
Well, that's why he was, like, easy to parody.
Right.
Well, at least, did they do blackface for him or only Mark Henry?
Only Mark Henry was black enough, I think.
Only Mizark Henry, right. I can't believe no one's called that out yet. The other thing I'm noticing as I'm reading through this list is we're starting to see different guys as we go up. Like, we saw a lot of Al Snow and Boss Man earlier.
Al Snow, Boss Man, Blackman, Val, Bulldog, the women. Yeah. That was like that whole Billy Gunn.
Now we're into Edge and Jarrett.
Yeah. No, we're seeing some new names and Rock will be popping up.
Yeah, he'll be popping up soon. He had a good year in 99. 20, well, he's the best. Well, we'll see. We'll get there. 25, New Age Outlaws versus Edge and Christian from Unforgiven. 24, New Age Outlaws versus The Rock and Mankind from Armageddon. 23, Rock versus Triple H from Fully Loaded. 22, Al Snow versus the Big Boss Man from Fully Loaded, a hardcore match. And 21, Ken Shamrock versus Billy Gunn from the Royal Rumble.
Is that the bleeding match? Internal That's bleeding?
No, it's the broken ankle match.
Oh, okay, that's right.
I think I like the psychology of the ankle.
That's pretty good. Triple H Rock is another one. I want to kind of rewatch it. He's always thinking the 98 draw. Triple H wins this one, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's kind of a big jumping point for him.
It's almost like a number one contender. Maybe it might actually be a number one contender's match, actually. That would make sense to me if it was. And you get the New Age Outlaws, who were kind of like, I don't want to say they're at their height of their powers, but they were like a really solid, they were a good team to keep going back to in 99.
Right.
They just kind of centered the division. Okay, we're in the top 20. We're still in three stars.
Oh, God.
Number 20, the Hardy Boys and Michael Hayes versus the Acolytes from Fully Loaded in a handicap match. Number 19, X-Pac versus Gangrel from the Royal Rumble for the European title. Number 18, Triple H versus The Rock versus The Big Show from Survivor Series. Number 17, Edge and Christian versus The Hardy Boys from King of the Ring. And number 16, Triple H versus The Rock versus Mankind versus Kane versus Big Show versus the British Bulldog six-pack challenge at Unforgiven. And that's the last three-star match.
I want to say the Survivor Series match seems high, but I don't know where else it would go. Like, <it's, laughs> again, just three stars, so it's fine there. Yeah, I mean, again, like being this high, three stars is depressing for this year.
Yeah.
But I don't know how else you reshuffle some of your grades. Like, there's been a couple ones I would have moved around, like those Kane Show ones. And like I said, I might have moved up a couple of the Backlash matches. But, like, nothing's really standing out as egregious throughout any of this.
Do you think you'd move up, like, the Ken Shamrock Undertaker match, like, three stars?
No, probably not that much. I might have had it more toward the top of the heap of the two and a halves, you know?
Right. I think I had it two and a quarter.
Or two and three quarters, yeah, somewhere in there.
Yeah. Where is it? I had it two and a quarter. No, no, wait, that's Undertaker Rock. I had it 1 3/4 Undertaker and Shamrock, which is very low for my standards.
Yeah, very.
Yeah. Number 15, The Rock Triple H over the Edge. We're in the 3 1/4 now. Number 14, X-Pac and Kane versus D'Lo Brown and Mark Henry from Over the Edge. Fuck, Over the Edge is a good show. Number 13, Steve Austin versus The Undertaker, The First Blood from Fully Loaded. Number 12, X-Pac and Kane versus Undertaker Big Show from the SummerSlam. And our first 3.5-star match, Kane versus X-Pac in a cage from Armageddon.
All right. I like the First Blood. So it was good to see that high. And I like the SummerSlam tag, so I'm glad that got some love. I don't remember X-Pac Kane as well from Armageddon. I remember not being like too thrilled with the series. Like, I expected more. I might have the SummerSlam tag over it.
Well, it's hard to have X-Pac as the heel for the matches.
Right.
I get
against a big guy, yep.
Character-wise, it makes total sense because clearly he's the douchebag, right? But, like, you want him bumping around for Kane as the face, in theory.
In theory.
All right, we're into the top 10. We're going to do them one at a time. Just give me your thoughts as they come. Number 10, China versus Chris Jericho from the Survivor Series for the Intercontinental title.
Yeah, I remember that getting a lot of praise. I think the crowd was pretty into it. Yeah. But people being pissed Jericho lost. I think I'd have the tag from SummerSlam ahead of it.
Interesting. Number 9, Mankind versus The Rock, I Quit from the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, an insane match. Has a rep for a reason. It's hard to disassociate the Beyond the Mat stuff from it.
Sure.
That plays such a role, which does hurt it, but it's, I mean, especially in a year like this. In some of the years, I don't know. Maybe it gets dinged more. But where are you for grades yet at this point?
3.5.
Yeah. So most years it's probably bottom 50.
Right. Yeah. Number 8, Mankind versus The Rock, Last Man Standing from St. Valentine's Day Massacre.
I think I like the Rumble better.
I think maybe I like the ending of the St. Valentine's Day one better, even though it's a non-finish. Yeah. Well, I like it more than the recorded voice, I think.
Yeah, I don't mind the recorded voice thing. I thought that was actually sharp.
I guess I'm speculating. I don't remember them. I remember the Royal Rumble one more. Number 7, China versus Chris Jericho, Armageddon for the Intercontinental title.
Yeah, this one's right. I think this is with the huge pop when Jericho beats her. Yeah. They kind of right the wrong from Survivor Series. This also had the weird build in here. Is this where he snaps and breaks the thumbs and all that?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, so, I think I'm fine with this one being this high. I think this was the better match of the two.
I'm not sure I've ever marked out more in a match than that first Survivor Series match. I remember so distinctly me and my buddy Reg in a bar watching it and just losing our minds, mm-hmm. and then being fucking angry. Like, what are they doing with Jericho? Like, number 6, Stone Cold Steve Austin versus The Rock, No Holds Barred from Backlash.
Okay. I'll withhold. Go ahead.
Number 5, Shane McMahon versus X-Pac from WrestleMania for the European Championship.
I do like that match. I feel like I may have Rock Austin above it, though.
Yeah, there's something about it that didn't work for me. I have them both at 3.5. They're both to have the same score. Mm-hmm. So I like them similar enough. I think maybe I was surprised by Shane. I liked the X. I rewatching this year, rewatching 2000, rewatching 2001, I really like X-Pac more and more every time.
Oh, he's great.
Him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he gets no credit, but like he really holds these shows together. Like, if you look, we almost all of his matches have been in the last, like, 20 matches. And a lot of the matches with the partnership with Kane were in there, too. So, like, he's a really important part of 99.
I think you could argue he's the MVP of 99. I don't think it's crazy. We'll get there, I guess.
Yeah, we'll get there. I think it's close. I'm sure he's in the running. Number four, Test versus Shane McMahon from SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm.
I have that at 3.75.
Yep, that feels right.
Number three, The Rock versus Stone Cold Steve Austin from WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Vince McMahon from St. Valentine's Day Massacre.
I will not argue that.
Yeah, I have that at 4.25. And the number one match of the year, Edge and Christian versus the Hardy Boys, the tit final from No Mercy, the ladder match.
Crazy that that's the best match of that year. I mean, it's really good, but
yeah,
it's not what you would think.
Well, it would win best match in a couple other years, but not many.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have much quibbles with that top five. I think I would just maybe move that Backlash main event up a notch, but I'd have Mania above it, even though I hate the finish with Foley counting the three.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the worst Rock Austin match, right? At Mania?
Well, you tell me, you have Backlash. Oh, of the three Manias, yes.
Yes.
I put them chronologically. I like 19, then 17, then 15.
I like 17, 19, 15.
I know. I'm an odd duck with the 19 first.
But it's not far. 19 is really good, and it's got a whole different dynamic to it, which is cool. All right, well, let me just quickly. Worst show of the year, King of the Ring.
Easy.
I had the best show of the year as Fully Loaded.
The best? Yeah.
It just kind of was like, I think it was, it had the best average of star, even though it topped out at 3.5, it had the best, 3.25, it had the best average star rating, and it had the most matches like higher up in the list.
Yeah, I'd probably have SummerSlam as my favorite.
SummerSlam's number two.
Yeah, and then I like Backlash. I know you ranked it low. I like Massacre as well. That'd probably be up there.
Massacre was 4. Backlash was 11 out of 12.
Where do you have the Rumble?
6. Rumble's really hurt by that Rumble match.
Yeah.
Because that's the Rumble match that should... It could have been easily... I don't want to say easily, but it should have been great, but they fucked up the booking. Like, they had the built-in story with the bounty and...
Yep.
All right, I got my worst wrestler of the year, best wrestlers, and then we are out of here.
Okay.
So, bottom 5 wrestlers of the year. Do you want to include women or not women?
Do both.
Okay, so we'll do without women first. We'll do with women first. So, because they're the bottom three. The worst, the third worst is Luna. Second worst is Ivory. The worst is fucking Tori.
Yeah, I mean, that's about right.
Okay, so let's Tori do the bottom.
Tori has a bad year. And Ivory. Ivory's like the linchpin, and she's terrible too.
She's like one of the worst... like big pushed people, right? Mm-hmm. Ever?
Yeah, it depends how much you consider like big push the women in 99, but yes.
Yeah, but I mean like the centerpiece of it. Like there's no centerpiece of a division that's
right,
worse
right.
than ever. All right, bottom 5 wrestlers. Number 5 worst Big Boss Man.
Yeah.
Number 4 worst the Godfather.
Yep.
Number 3 The Undertaker. Number 2 Al Snow, and number 1 Goldust.
Yeah, I mean, that all sounds right. Taker's an odd case. He does have some real bad stuff. I mean, he's got the Hell in a Cell in there and some shit. But he was, like, really banged up, and he was pushing through. Like, I like the First Blood. I mean, yeah, the match with Rock at King of the Ring is shaky. I like the tag, and then he vanishes. Yeah, I mean, I guess he deserves it. Without the women on there, I can't think of anyone else that would really fall in that slot.
Just missing the cut is the British Bulldog.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't give him much to work with.
He barely qualifies. Yeah. All right, top 5 best wrestlers. The best tag team of the year is the Hardy Boys.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see who else comes close. I think they outshine Edge and Christian early on. So,
I think Kane and X-Pac.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, they're great. But, and I think the Acolytes are pretty good in 99, too.
Yeah. Okay, I have to redo this because when I did it originally, it's fucked up. Because I fixed it. 1, 2. Okay, so number 5 best wrestler of the year, Triple H. Give him some praise in this terrible year. Number 4, Kane. Number 3, X-Pac. Number 2, Steve Austin. And number 1, The Rock.
It feels like Vince could be in there, but I guess I'm thinking of his matches. Armageddon and King of the Ring drag it a little bit.
Yeah. He barely qualifies. He kind of he finishes top 10. He's like 10.
God. I was gonna say drop Austin down, but I guess he's got the Mania, Backlash, and Massacre stuff.
Yeah.
And the First Blood.
Yeah, he has a sneaky little. You don't think of 99 as a good year for him, but because it's not a good year in general, but he's all of his stuff is in the high end except for the SummerSlam main event.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'd leave it like that. I want to try and make a case for X-Pac higher, but I can't take Rocket Austin down.
No, he X-Pac is like the perfect. He's like your perfect number two hitter in baseball, and I don't even know baseball that well, but that feels like a good analogy.
Sure.
Like he's a super important part of the roster, but he's not your main guy.
Right.
But he's who I enjoyed watching most.
No, so everything great in that stretch. It sucks that everyone, you know, I hate that it became such a talking point that he like sucked or something in 01 because everyone's tired of seeing him. But I think he's criminally underrated all time. I'd have to look back where we had him in like GWE and all that.
Yeah, I wonder where that is. Because he truly does deserve way more praise than he gets. And I remember specifically when I was watching 01 thinking like, oh, good, X-Pac's here.
Right.
Every time he came out.
I don't think he has a bad year at all. I mean, even in 96 where he feels so played, he's still like having pretty good matches and shit. He was always great in the ring. Like that never went away.
Is he played in 96 though? Because he just turned heel.
Yeah. Watching it, he feels lost. I think they didn't change the character enough and they do the crybaby shit that doesn't help.
Right.
But he has like decent stuff in there for sure.
I am quite looking forward to watching him in WCW. Because I remember him being very present, but I don't remember the matches that much. But I bet there's some gems in there.
They're okay. I think he's banged up for a lot of it. Like, I don't think he's got any true classics. You know, the one Eddie, the ladder match that sold out was always kind of thrown out there, but I think even that's a little disappointing.
Right.
His best match might be the six-man. I think it's Slamboree. It's him, Hall and Nash against Piper, Flair, and Kevin Green, which is really fun.
But see, the key with X-Pac, anyway, at least in these years, is I don't think he has a great match on pay-per-view.
Right.
I think he has one, except maybe the match with the one heart, but it's really short.
Right.
But everything is at least like three.
Mm-hmm.
And that's way better than anybody else.
Yep.
Like, because he very rarely has stinkers.
And I think it just speaks to who they put him with. He's not getting a pay-per-view match with Austin.
Yeah.
You know, or Brett. We could do a Raw with Brett. It was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, in 98, he's getting D'Lo, and those matches are really good. But they're not going to get a five-star match out of D'Lo Brown in 1998.
No, and same with Jarrett, right? He's getting Jarrett in there. Gangrel, Shane. You know what I mean? Like, the tags, you know, where he's carrying Kane.
They're putting all the guys in there that they're not sure if they can work or not.
Right. Yeah, I mean, he's a barometer guy, right?
Yeah.
So, no, I mean, look, a top three finish for him is great, so that's good.
Yeah, I'm interested to see, because eventually what I'm going to do is create, like, a greatest of all time based on my rankings.
Yep.
And I don't know where he'll finish, because he doesn't have the high-end great stuff, but he'll definitely finish well in the average rating. Listen, if you like this episode, what JT and I just did, and you haven't listened to the year that was 1999, go back into the archives of the North South Connection Podcast Network. We got all kinds of great stuff coming at you every week. Mondays, you get to spend it with me. If you hate me, well, you can hate listen to it, I guess. The year that was drops every Monday. That's me going through the year, talking about the high points and low points and so on and so forth. Alternating Mondays, you get from Montreal to Memphis with me and Reg. We do deep dives into things, kind of a little all over the place, but hopefully it's a fun listen. Tuesdays, we are in the early 2000s for the Ruthlessly Aggressive Podcast with Jacob Williams. He has a guest every week. They talk a lot about the Ruthless Aggressive era. It's a lot of fun to listen to him. And that's coupled with JT, Jenny, and I's TNA Never Dies. You know, diving into the original NWA TNA pay-per-views. Wednesday, you're dealing with Chad Campbell all day. He's got Carolina Dreaming, where he goes. He's giving you some Jim Crocker promotions, recommendations for the Place to Be Nation stretch project, the greatest WCW match of all time. He also, on alternating Wednesdays, is the Fighting Spirit of 06, going through the year 2006, which finished pretty low in my list, but he's going through all the promotions. Fun listen. 90s, it's all about the Attitude Era. You got Extreme Three-Way Dance with JT, Jenny, and John D'Amato. coupled with JT and Chad's Wrestling War Zone, going through the Monday Night War era of WWF and WCW. And then on Saturdays, No Holds Barred, occasionally Jeff Learns Wrestling. If you like the feed, please subscribe. Tell us what you think. Give us reviews. Write us. Give us feedback. Always happy to hear it. Always hoping to improve, too. JT, 99, we close the book on it.
Yeah, I think we did a good job. I mean, the best you can do. It's an odd year, like we said. A lot of the matches are jumbled. I mean, you said it. Like, most of the stuff is between that 2 to 3 range. That's the bulk of the year. How do you separate a lot of that stuff? Personal preference here and there. But as an overall, I think we got the bulk of it right. I think we got our top 5 best. I'm agreeing with you there. So, yeah, I think it's a pretty straightforward year, top to bottom.
Yeah, it is. And I'm looking forward to seeing what you think when you finally rewatch it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, someday, when we all have time.
All right, follow me on Twitter, JT the Pod Guy. We got our tournaments up and running. You can do that daily. Facebook.com/NorthSouthConnection. Share it. Rate us. Leave us feedback. We love you. Thank you, everyone that's done so far. Thank you for helping to spread the word. Continue to do so. Aaron, JT, we're out. Dookie, goodbye.
At Aaron D. George on Twitter. Wu-Tang and Limp Bizkit. Roll on this, kick a hole in the speaker, pull a plug and then jack. Mic check. So what's it all about? And where we gonna run? Maybe we can meet up on the sun. Discretion is advised for the blood of virgin eyes. We're limping on the track with the method. So get the sun block. You're getting one shot. Until you dissolve, I revolve around everything you got. From out of nowhere, prepare. You'll be blinded by the glare. I told you not to stare. Now you're turned into stone. Without a microphone. But don't you forget you're in a zone. So shut the fuck up and take that shit back. Cause all your shit's whack. When it's weighed out like that, burning up your brain like a piston. So all those who didn't listen never even knew what they were missing. And never even knew that the sky was falling down. Wu-Tang Clan full of clowns. Come on a little louder. Everybody in the gather now. Shut up. Day every day, S-I-N-Y, 10304, Wu-Tang, Killer Bees, and the Limp, B-I-Z-K-I-T's, y'all know the time, y'all know the rhyme, it ain't easy being greasy, in a world full of cleanliness and, you know, all that other madness, we gone, peace.